What a wonderful song to sing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, known as that great hymn of the Reformation. It's a blessing. This has nothing to do with the message, but it's a blessing to think of these great hymns of the faith that we sing one generation after another. And the believers many years ago were singing that, and hopefully in the years to come there will still be believers rejoicing in the gospel and singing great hymns like that. I always want to be part of a church family that continues to sing the great hymns of the past. And one of the challenges is a lot of people maybe go in different directions is that next generation of believers is not receiving the blessing of learning those hymns and singing those hymns. And I also thank the Lord for the good new songs that are being written that we love to sing as well. But certainly, A Mighty Fortress is one of those hymns that has stood the test of time. And every time we sing it, I just rejoice in the opportunity to do that. Well, this morning, we are thinking about ending this year of 2014 and beginning a new year. And rather than staying in the book of Acts, even though we're going through a series on Acts, rather than having a Christmas message, I thought we would be having a message this morning that relates to this coming new year. And let me publicly say, related to last Sunday's Christmas messages, I appreciate very much Ward preaching in the morning, Dale in the evening, and I had the opportunity to listen to both of those messages online this past week and was blessed by both of them. And I'm thankful for those who would take the time to record our messages and to post them on the internet for those that can listen. But here we are as we end an old year, as it were, beginning a new year. And as we think about how this past year has gone, I'd like to think there's many things you're thankful for, but no doubt there are some things that didn't go the way you wanted them to go. And certainly every year has its share of challenges and for many people, suffering and pain. And as we think of a new year, no doubt for some, it might be that along with the encouraging thoughts, there's also thoughts of fear, and there's also thoughts of anxiety. And as I thought about that, the anxiety and fear that's very normal in times of transition, I thought about this chapter of Joshua chapter 1, a very pivotal time in the history of God's people. If you're not open already, I'd encourage you to open up to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1:1 begins, "Now it came about after the death of Moses." So Joshua begins just like Deuteronomy ends. It's the death of Moses. And here is Moses, perhaps right, the greatest leader ever of God's people. And the Bible makes that clear as Deuteronomy ends. I wanted to make sure we didn't skip that. If you went back a page from the beginning of Joshua or just looked on the screen, Deuteronomy 34, how does it end? Well, verse 10 says, "Since that time no prophet is risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. For all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants and all his land, and for all the mighty power, for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel." There was no prophet like Moses. And yet, as we know, Moses was not allowed to lead God's people into the next phase. He was not allowed to lead them into the promised land, right? Deuteronomy 34, verse 4. "The Lord said to him, 'This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, Moses, but you shall not go over there.'" And so we know verse 5 records that Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And what did the people do? Well, in an appropriate way, it says in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 34, "The sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. But notice what it says at the second part of verse 8, Deuteronomy 34. "Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end." Moses is a great leader. There was not a prophet like Moses. We just read that. And yet Moses failed. We know the story very well, right? It's recorded for us back in the Pentateuch in Numbers. God tells Moses what? All of these people are giving you a hard time. Speak to the rock and water will come out. Moses is angry. Moses is maybe a little bit proud, and we all struggle with these things. And so what happens? He strikes the rock twice, and because of this act of unfaithfulness and disobedience, the Lord says, Moses, you're going to see the land, but you're not going to enter it. And now it's time for a new leader to lead God's people. And now they're getting ready to go into the promised land under Joshua. And no doubt this is something that would cause great fear and great anxiety, because Moses isn't their leader anymore. And now there's someone new that they don't know as well. And things didn't go so well for God's children in the wilderness, as you know, because frequently they lacked faith. And so how are they going to go into this new land under Joshua's leadership? And how is Joshua going to lead them when he's trying to live in the shadows of Moses? And of course, no doubt, a time of fear, a time of anxiety. Maybe that's how you feel a little bit as you think about a new year. You know, you may have health concerns. You may have financial concerns. You may have relationship concerns, right? Things in your family maybe aren't going as well as you'd like them to go. You might have vocational concerns. And as you think about the new year, you're looking at people around you that are kind of excited, and you don't share that excitement because of the anxiety and the fear that you experience. Maybe not that different from what God's people and what Joshua were experiencing. If that's the case at all for you, then I hope by God's grace this message will be a great encouragement to you. The title of the message is Be Strong and Courageous. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And that phrase, be strong and courageous, comes up three times. It'll help us to get the three points of the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we wrap up a year and look forward to beginning a new year, as we think about all of the challenges that no doubt are ahead of us this year, the difficulties that some are maybe already even experiencing, we pray that you would help us to be strong and courageous, that this coming year would be a year of spiritual success in our lives. Lord, to that end, we pray that you would help us to understand your word and that your blessed Holy Spirit would work in our hearts through it, all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be strong and courageous. Remember I said that phrase comes up three times? Notice verse 6 is the first time we'll see it. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. How can we be strong and courageous? Number one, we can be strong and courageous because God always keeps his promises. There are some things that you can be absolutely certain of. You say what? Anything God promises. God promises to keep his word. Notice the wording, guys, of verse 6. You shall give this people possession of the land. Here is the Lord talking to Joshua. And notice it says in verse 6, which I swore to their fathers to give them. So the Lord is saying, I promised your fathers that they would inherit this land, the promised land. In fact, go back to verse 2, and we'll read about this a little bit, beginning in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. See, God had promised that. Verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. See, God says, this is the very thing I said I would do. Verse 4, talks about some of the boundaries from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I'll not fail you or forsake you. God is basically saying, I promised you that I'd give you this land. We can be absolutely confident that when God makes a promise, God keeps it. God always keeps his promises. You say, well, was there anyone who wasn't faithful as we think about this account? Well, I've already mentioned it, and the answer is yes. Moses was not completely faithful. And again, Moses was a great leader, and this is not throwing him under the bus. But Moses was not completely faithful yet. Even when Moses failed and strikes the rock those two times, that didn't change anything in God's character. My unfaithfulness does not change God's faithfulness. And even when I am unfaithful to God, God is always faithful to me. When God says something, he does it. Because he is a God who promises to keep his word, and God always keeps his promises. Now, people aren't like that. Even our allegedly great leaders are not known as people who keep their word. There's a book out. It's called No Matter How Thin You Slice It, It Is Still Baloney. And I've only read excerpts of it, but it's a book where very well-known leaders say things that are just baloney, okay, as it says. And I'll just give two examples that illustrate it. In October 1940, presidential candidate Franklin Roosevelt promised, quote, this is 1940, quote, I have said this before, but I shall say it again and again. Your boys are not going to be sent into any foreign wars, quote unquote. And of course, right after that, we find ourselves in World War II. October 1964, a quote from Lyndon Johnson, quote, we're not about to send American boys 9 or 10,000 miles away from home to do what Asian boys ought to be doing for themselves, quote. End quote. That was 1964. And then soon we find ourselves involved in the conflict there in Asia. Now, my point is not whether it was good or bad for them to say that, or good or bad for us to be involved in that war, that conflict. That's not why I bring that up. I hope you realize it. That's simply an illustration how we just take it for granted that so-called great leaders are known as people who don't keep their word. But God is not like that. God is a God. When he says he's going to do something, he'll do it. So if the Lord says to Joshua, you just trust in me, and I'm going to give all of this land to you, then you can bank on it. And when you read your Bibles today, whenever you come across a promise of the Lord, you can have complete confidence he'll keep it. You can be strong and courageous. God keeps his promises. Now, I want to throw out a couple cautions. First of all, one caution at least. We want to make sure we don't misuse God's word. There are people that claim promises that God never made to them. Do you know what I'm talking about? I remember after I'd been a Christian for not very long, a sermon. I don't know why I remember this. When you first become a Christian, everything is so new, and you're hearing things in sermons, and you're trying to figure it out. Where'd that come from? And I'd been a Christian, I think, a couple years at the time. I heard a message, and I don't remember what the message was about, but there was an illustration in the message of a man who is a church planner, and he's starting a church, and he went into a certain city, and they had a couple of believers there, and he found a field. And he decided that's where God wanted him to start a church, talking about the building. So he said he took off his shoes and he walked around that field. And he knew if he did that he would get that field. And I still remember thinking, this is unusual. You know, I've been a Christian a couple years, and I'm hearing stories in the Bible. I'm just getting to learn my Bible better. And a lot of times I'm listening and I'm hearing a story. And yeah, I remember that thing about Daniel in the lion's den. Yeah, I got that. And then I'm hearing something else about the walls of Jericho. Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I got that. And then I hear somebody say, if you want a piece of land, take off your shoes and walk around it and you get it. And I still remember thinking, you know, that's not ringing any bell. And then it was a number of years later as I started reading through my Old Testament more, it dawned on me, I think this is the verse that he was talking about here. Okay? You say, what verse are you talking about? Well, notice what the text says here. It says that these people did what? It says in the text, let me find the verse, verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. And the best I understand what that church planter was saying, that you could claim this promise, which means if you really want a piece of land, take your shoes off, and if the sole of your foot touches it, then God will give it to you. You say, Greg, does this... No. This is a negative illustration, okay? That I'm not encouraging you to do this. This is an example of misusing a verse and then making a claim allegedly on a promise that God never made. We want to be careful that we don't misapply the scriptures. But there are plenty of promises that do apply. And so within context, based on the character of God, that we can still claim today. You say, what would there be in this passage that would encourage you? Well, first of all, be strong and courageous. God keeps his promises. And you say, okay, but what promise can we find in the scriptures? Well, we've read verse 6 already. Let's go on to verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Our second point, be strong and courageous. God promises success. Where do you note that? Notice the end of verse 8. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. If I were to ask you, do you want to have a successful new year? No doubt everyone would raise a hand, I believe, and say, obviously, I don't want to fail this new year. I would want to have a successful new year. But what does success look like? And how do you achieve it? You know, I just thought it would be fun just to Google success, and you get all kinds of things on the internet, all kinds of images, all kinds of signs even, on the road to success. And those of you especially that are involved in business, involved in sales, you know that a lot of time at the end of the year, the beginning of a new year, businesses will get together and everybody's into strategic planning. And I'm not saying that's wrong. And the whole key to success is allegedly be very clear in your goals and articulating your goals and writing down your goals and communicating your goals and following up on your goals. And I'm not suggesting that that's wrong, even though that in and of itself would not constitute success. You say, what does the world say about success? So all kinds of images. Here's one I came across. Believing in yourself is the first secret to success, right? You know, as you get into a new year, just believe that you can accomplish what you want to accomplish. Just have that driving force within. See, that's what the world says. And that's what's being taught, even unfortunately, in a lot of churches that are not really focused on the gospel. Here's another one I came across. The strongest factor for success is self-esteem. Believing you can do it, believing you deserve it, believing you will get it. And people will try to mix that with Christianity. And they'll say, as long as you believe, right, then God will bless you with whatever you want, as long as you have great faith. And it's kind of a name it, claim it idea. Is that what we see here in the scripture? And the answer is no. We have a promise of success, but it's a promise that is different than what the world would say. Be strong and courageous. God promises success to whom? Let's look at verse 7 and see if we can figure this out. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Having prosperity and success is clearly tied to God's word. And specifically, I want to focus on three items that are mentioned in the text. Notice verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You know to whom God promises success? to those who are filled with his word. It says the book of the law, that's the Bible, we could call it. And by the way, it's interesting, at this early time in Israel's history, there's a book of the law. I don't know if you even know this, but liberals would say at this time in history, there was no written scripture. This verse makes it clear there was. This book of the law, we could just call it today the Bible. It shall not depart from your mouth. Now, why am I saying to those who are filled with God's word? Well, let's just remember what we read in the scriptures elsewhere. Luke 6:45, Jesus says, for his mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. So when we say something will not depart from your mouth, what does it mean? It's inside your heart. We have different activities we enjoy, we get excited about. Some of you really enjoy college football, and I put on a game just a little bit last night, and not really a big game for me, but it was nice to see Penn State win a game in overtime. And either way is fine, but it was a really fun game. I love college football overtime. And if you were really a Penn State fan, you maybe even showed up today and said, boy, didn't they do well? Why? Because when something fills your heart, you talk about it. That's Luke 6:45. It's Matthew 15:18. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. When something's inside you and it fills you and you think about it, you talk about it. You don't have to plan it. It just happens that way. So when the scripture says, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, what does that mean? It means we need to have God's word in us. And it needs to fill us so much that talking about Jesus, talking about the gospel, talking about salvation, talking about God's faithfulness would kind of be a natural thing because it's something that fills us. That's one step to being strong and courageous. God promises success to those who are filled with his word. But notice what we'll say secondly. Not just filled with it, verse 8, but meditate on it. But you shall meditate on it day and night. And we all know what meditation means. Meditation means think about it. And many times we say, you know, meditation, Greg, is hard. And yet in reality, it's not. Meditating on the right things is hard. But meditating is not hard at all. And you've heard this illustration. I think I've used it before, not original with me. Meditation is the same thing as worry. What is worry? Worry is when you go over and over something in your mind that's negative, that maybe could happen or may happen, but it's just meditation. If I replace something that may happen, like will I get that job or will my tests come back positive and they find out I have cancer or what have you. If I replace the negative that I'm thinking about with the positive, that's meditating on the scripture. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And most of us are pretty good at worry, which means we're pretty good at meditation. We simply, not simply, because it's not simple, it's difficult, but we need to change what we meditate on from the negatives to God's word. So we read his word, it fills us, we talk about it, we dwell on it, we meditate on it. But there's one more thing going on I think you could easily pick in this text. Oh, I wanted to refer to Psalm chapter 1, the idea of meditation. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight's in the law of the Lord. Here it comes. And in his law he meditates day and night. And what's true of that guy? Verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does, he prospers. I want to prosper. What do I need to do? I need to have a heart filled with God's word, and I need to meditate on God's word. And the Bible says, I will prosper. We actually talked about this verse in our Bible study this morning. And I wasn't going to mention this, but it's in my mind because we just covered it. This tree is a healthy tree. It doesn't mean this tree has an easy life. Notice it's planted by streams of water, and notice its leaf does not wither, but that implies that other trees are withering, which means this tree goes through hard times. The Bible never promises if you just think about Christ and meditate on the scripture, you'll have a prosperous life, right? You'll make a ton of money and you'll be healthy. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about even when the hard times comes. By God's grace, you're able to endure and be this kind of tree. You say, to whom is that promise? Those who are filled with the word, Secondly, those who meditate on the word. And one more, finally, those who obey the word. Again, notice verse 8. It says, after you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful. Notice, to do according to all that is written in it. It's not enough just to read it. It's not enough just to think about it. It's not enough to over and over meditate on it. But we actually have to submit to it and to practice it. The same thing that verse 7 begins with. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. So we need to be reading God's word. We need to be meditating on God's word. And we need to be obeying God's word. Again, that doesn't mean that if you do this, the new year will be absolutely awesome and everything's going to go your way. You can still expect challenges. But by God's grace, you could be successful. Just think about this historical event. Where are God's people getting ready to go? Into the promised land. What does God promise them? He promises them success as long as they trust him. You say, who's in the promised land? Big people, right? You remember the story. I'll read from Numbers 13, 27 and 8. We went into the land where you sent us. It certainly does. This is the report of the spies. It certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. What were the spies preoccupied with, unfortunately? All of the challenges, all of the struggles. And yet God said, you know what? I still am promising you success. And remember the first point, God keeps his promises. So we can be strong and courageous. God keeps his word. We can be strong and courageous. God promises success. Notice the last one in verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Our third point, be strong and courageous, because God never leaves his people. We can bank on that. You say, but how about all of these challenges that they were facing? Huge challenges. But the Lord is making it clear there's no need to fear even as we face challenges. God's people were going to have to go in and fight the people that are in the land. They're not going to just walk in and say, you know what, our God said we can have your land. Is that okay with you? And they would say, yeah, as long as Yahweh said so, we're good. That's not how they took it. There were many battles to come, and they were going to have to fight. And yet the Lord said what? Be strong and be courageous. And he promises them, the Lord, Yahweh, your God, is with you wherever you go. And so there's no need to fear, even as we face challenges. Why? Because Yahweh, the Lord, is with us. And we have these wonderful New Testament references to texts like this. I just read one, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He himself said, I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. We may confidently say, the Lord's my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? What is God telling us? He'll never leave us. And thus we can be strong and courageous. Put this all together. And as we think about a brand new year, guys, what should be on our minds? Let's be strong and courageous. And you may be, again, battling financial challenges. You may be facing health difficulties. You may be having relationship problems. You might have bad memories of what happened in the past, maybe your failure or someone else's failure, just like Moses failed. And yet, what can we be confident of? Number one, that God keeps his promises. Number two, God promises success to those who are filled with, meditate on, and obey his word. And number three, God will never leave us. Now, I want you to look at those three. And I want you to think about those, okay? We have here three promises that should encourage us God keeps his promises. God promises success to those who are filled with meditate on and obey his word. God will never leave us. One of those is different than the other two. Two are similar, one's different. Which one of those is different than the other two in some way? Anyone? There's probably different answers, and they're all right, right? Whenever I ask a question, no matter what you say, everyone's right, okay? And sometimes one answer maybe is more right than another one, okay? But everybody, there's no wrong answer here. This is how I'm thinking, and you may think differently, and that doesn't mean you're wrong. It's just different, okay? See if this makes sense. God keeps his promises always, right? Always. I don't have anything to do with that. You know, no matter what I do, bank on it. Number one, God keeps his promises. Number three, God will never leave me. No matter what I do, God never leaves me. I can bank on it. But number two is conditional. God promises success to those who are filled with his word, meditate on his word, and obey his word. So if I want to have success in the new year, right? Number one, God keeps his promises. Hey, that's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Number three, God will never leave us. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Number two, God promises success to those who do something. Which means if you're going to want to have a successful new year, there's something you have to do. And if you just sit back and say, okay, it's the new year, God will never leave me, God keeps his promises, I'm going to sit back and have a great year, it's not going to happen. There is something you absolutely must do to have a great year. You say, what is that? Well, again, as I looked at all these different pictures online, it's kind of like we're all at a crossroads. And we can either fail in the new year or we can have success. You say, Greg, what was the key thing that I played a role in? Let's go back. It's right here. God promises success to me if I'm filled with his word, meditate on his word, and obey his word. Would you please take out your bulletin? Please, if you have a bulletin. And I want to help you succeed this year. And this is not a minor point. This is crucial. In your bulletin, you'll find a Bible reading schedule for 2015. If you've never, ever read on a Bible reading plan, never, and again, we're all in different places. You say, Greg, I've never succeeded. Maybe you would make your goal just to read through this New Testament schedule. Forget the first column where it says Old Testament. Maybe you would say, this year, by God's grace, I'm going to read through the New Testament. That would be a wonderful goal. And if you would follow this plan, it's called Come Drink Live 365. If you like plans on paper, you could put this on your nightstand, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, read a little bit of the New Testament, and then according to this plan, by the end of the year, you'd make it all the way through the New Testament. Maybe you've done things like that, but you've never read the whole Bible through. Now, I realize some of you, you've read through the Bible, you've lost count so many times you've done it, but have you maybe never read the whole Bible through? Maybe this is the year you would do it. What I love about this plan is it's 6 days a week. So you have the Bible divided into Old Testament and New Testament, so you're doing a reading from each, but it's 6 days a week. That way, if you get behind schedule, you're fine. You got a one-day buffer built in there. For me, I like to read it through Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday, I'm just thinking about the sermons and everything, so Sunday's the day I'm not doing this kind of Bible reading. Many of us like to do it on our smartphones, and that's how I do mine. I don't really use the paper piece. But if you go to page 4, right above the logo for Trinity, we have the URLs there, so you can just put that into your laptop or download the app, and you could read through the Bible that way. And the version we're using, we've used before. It's called YouVersion. It's a free Bible app. You could put it on your Droid. You could put it on your iPhone. And if you don't like this reading plan, I haven't counted them. I think there's maybe 50 other plans that you can follow. And even as we were out of town this last 2 weeks, I'm just relaxing in my parents' family room, what, with my mini iPad. I'm usually reading it off my phone, but I like a little bigger screen if I have it. And I'm just on my mini iPad, just reading my Bible. And you can do that wherever you're at if you want to do it on an app. If you want paper, you got paper. Greg, are you promising me that if I read my Bible through this year, I will be spiritually successful? No. I will promise you, if you don't read your Bible at all this year, you will fail. That's a promise I'll make you. You will fail without God's Word. I'm fully aware that you could read the Bible every day, not think about what you're reading and check it off. Right? Maybe brag about it, post it on Facebook. I read my Bible, did you? Okay. Which is probably an indication that it didn't do much. Okay. But there's no success apart from God's Word. Here's the end of a year, the beginning of a new year. Some of you are thinking you need to jog a little bit more, and that's on my list this year. I've let my jogging slip. And I need to jog a little more. Some of you are thinking maybe I need to clean my room a little bit more, okay? And for some, maybe that's too radical, and you need to go slow, okay? I won't look at anyone. But honestly, my heart for us as a church, would you prayerfully consider reading your Bible this year according to a plan? If you've never done it, New Testament is great. If you think you're ready for it, the whole Bible. And I know for some of you, you say, Greg, I've done that already. But then you know better than anyone what a blessing it is. And you're already praying for the others that even as God gave you the grace to do it, that they'll trust God for that same grace. I just want to pause for a little bit of time. And I want to ask you, would you pray to the Lord, no coming forward, you know we don't do that, no raising hands, no external show, would you be willing right now this morning, just as we pause, to pray, Lord, I want to be successful this year, and I know that it demands that I'm involved in daily Bible reading, and even if you don't know what plan to do, maybe you would just say, Lord, by your grace, I will, in the next day or two, select a plan. Or you might just say, Lord, I like the paper thing. Lord, by your grace, I'll read this. Or you'll say, Lord, by your grace, as soon as I get home, I'm going to download the app, and on my phone or my laptop, I'm going to read the Bible this year because I want to be strong and courageous, and I want to have a successful year. You play a role in this. God keeps his promises. God will never leave you. Right in between, you must be in the Word. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And I'd like to just take about a minute to give you an opportunity. And if you're already reading, just, Lord, give me the grace to keep reading. Let's just have quiet for a moment so that we can pray.